I've already spoken this message twice, and I intend to speak it even more. I know there's more occasions coming up where I want to speak this message again. And it's just a word that God gave me for the Celebrate Recovery group on Wednesday night. And it seemed to have a great impact on a lot of people. And so I shared it again on Friday night. I get asked every once in a while to go and preach at a Baptist church over in Clyde. Thank you. And I shared it again there. And I want to share it again here today. Last week I talked about getting in and staying in, talking about the kingdom of God. And, you know, how we get in and stay in, and basically being conformed into the image of Christ. Because, you know, originally God created us in His image. But once we fell to sin, once Adam and Eve sinned, it changed. We were no longer in His image. And now as we become children of God, when we turn our hearts to Jesus, the whole goal is for us to be transformed back into His image. He wants us to put on Christ. And that's why a lot of us struggle with identity issues, because, you know, the world wants to identify us with our sin, or we want to identify ourselves with whatever our activities are or the things that we love. But God wants us to be identified in Christ. And if we would get in Christ, and if we would stay in Christ, we would do so much better with our lives. Because it's only through Him that anything good comes, right? We can't do anything good outside of Him. And so we need to be in Christ, and we need to stay in Christ. And what I started that message with, I was talking about the last days and how God is soon to appear. And I shared an encounter that I had with somebody out in the parking lot, somebody who did not go to church, somebody who does not read their Bible, yet they told me, Jesus is coming soon. And I said, well, how do you know that? And they said, because I can feel it. Church, be aware. Let's not slumber, let's not sleep. And I shared that story about the servants going out to those that were called. Hey, the wedding's ready, come and eat. And those that were already called said, nah, I got other stuff to do. And so the servants were sent out to whoever would come, the good and the bad. And I really believe that's what that was about, that encounter I had in the parking lot. Here's somebody that didn't know Jesus, didn't read the Bible, didn't go to church, but knew that Jesus was coming soon. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going out and He's calling anyone who will listen to come. And I praise God, I shared Christ with that person outside and they immediately believed. It was awesome. I love those encounters. But to follow that up, Wednesday night, I just had this sense in my spirit to help everyone that would come and everyone that was here to understand that God wants you to be free from your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups. Do you understand that? We all, at times, we struggle with the things of life. We have hurts, we have hang-ups, you know, hurts, things that have happened to us, things that people have done to us, or even sometimes things we've done to ourselves, but things that really hurt, they cause pain in our soul, not just pain in our physical body, but pain in our soul. And many of us have habits that are destructive. And God wants us to heal us of those things that are tearing us apart and destroying us. And some of us have hang-ups. You know, they're just simple little things. Well, maybe they're not simple. Most hang-ups are probably more difficult than simple. But the idea is that, you know what, you get so far in God and then you get stuck and you can't go farther. God wants to heal us from all that. He wants to free us from all that. He wants us to move forward in life. Say this to yourself. God wants me to move forward. You know, there's a lot of times when we doubt the things of God, when we doubt that He has anything good for us, when we doubt that He cares or loves us or has anything better for us, but the truth is, He does. This message was inspired by a question that a young lady asked my wife at the Pregnancy Care Center. Many of you know that my wife and I, you know, we go down there and we help out and we serve and we just love on people and we share counseling with them and you know, biblical counseling and prayer and share parenting classes and all those kinds of things. But there was a young lady who was there, and my wife was talking to her about Jesus, and this young lady had a real desire for God, but just couldn't figure out how to get there. Anybody know somebody like that? It's like, you know what? I know a lot of people. They have a desire to please God, but they just don't know how to get there. And the question was, how do I get from here to there? How do I get from the place where I have a desire to the place where you are? What she was saying to my wife, because she could recognize in my wife that my wife had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it was real, and it was lasting, and it was never ending. And she could tell that my wife had this love and this joy for Jesus that goes beyond, you know, just reading about him in a book. It goes beyond just the head knowledge. There's something in the heart. There's something different. And so the question was, how do I get from here? How do I get to there? And so the Lord, as I pondered that question, and the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart. And by the way, I watched my wife and I watched a movie last night called Holy Spirit. That's just the name of it, Holy Spirit. It's a documentary that this guy, he decided to make a movie by just listening to the Holy Spirit, going where the Holy Spirit tells him to go, doing what the Holy Spirit tells him to do, and encountering the people that the Holy Spirit led him to. And it's a really interesting documentary and film. Part of it, you know, I don't want to give it all away, but part of that, in that movie, he ends up going to India, and he ends up going to the place in India which is considered the most holy of holy places for their false gods, right on the edge of the Ganges River. And it's a place where Christians have known to have been killed there. You don't go there because they have all these strange gods. And it happens to be this temple that is the god of all the gods. In India, there's like 3 million gods, but this particular one is this was like the highest of the highest. And they were told not to go there. They were told there was no way they could get in there. It would be very similar to a believer or a Christian or a Jew going into the Dome of the Rock. You know, it was one of those types of things. And God led that guy right in there. And they sang songs to Jesus right on the steps of their temple. But anyway, this is power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when how many know the Spirit will lead you to do some things that are a little scary sometimes? Yeah. And I'm not saying, oh, we got to go out there and put our lives on the line every day. But you know what? If God calls you to it, you better get there. But certainly God speaks to you. And God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? People need to know how to get from here to there. And we as a church, when people come asking us, how do I get saved? How do I receive eternal life? How do I get from here to there? We have to have an answer for them. And the Bible tells us, it shows us a story of someone just like this. Number one, the first thing we need to learn is to surrender everything to Jesus Christ and follow His way. That's the first way to get from here to there. You have to be willing to surrender everything. Everything. Everything that God calls you to surrender, you need to be willing to surrender. And now let me apologize to those who've already heard this message. Some have heard it twice already. I've preached it twice already. I'm looking forward to preaching it some more. But here we are. We are in the last days. Jesus is about to appear, and people need to know how to get from here to there. And the answer, the first answer to that question is surrender. You have to surrender everything. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, it says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is really interesting to me that the guy knew who to go to. He went running to Jesus. And you know what? Most people know who to go to. They know it's about Christ. They know it's about Jesus. He knew where to run. And yet he still had this burning question, how do I get from here to there? I know it has something to do with you, Jesus. But how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get from where I am now to there? And in verse 18, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father. Where's all the children went downstairs already? Children, if you can hear me, honor your father and your mother. In verse 20, he answered and he said, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Now here's a guy that he knew that Jesus was the Lord. That's why he ran to him. And he knew that he had to do certain things. He had to obey the Ten Commandments, and he was doing that from his youth. How many of us know somebody that are like, you know what, I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven because I'm a good guy, right? Yeah. There's a lot of them out there. You can tell them, you know what, it's not about your good deeds. It's about Jesus Christ. Are good deeds important? Yes, they are. And you need to do those good deeds. You need to do those good deeds in order to prove that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But if you're doing those good deeds in order to get yourself into heaven, it's not going to work. And this guy knew it. He knew that he had covered all the bases his whole life, but yet he was still lacking something. How do I get from here to there, even though I've done all this? And Jesus says, he looked at him and he loved him. And I want you to hear this, church. God loves you. It doesn't matter where you're at in your walk with him, he loves you. Whether you get it all right or whether you've gotten it all wrong the whole time, he loves you. God looked and loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And so what was Jesus saying there? Here's the one thing that you need to do in order to inherit eternal life. You need to surrender it all. Surrender everything. And it says there that he went away sad, saying, I'm ahead of myself. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Isn't that crazy? If you think about this, here's a guy, knows where to go, gets the answer, and then says, no. Thanks, but no thanks. Wow. We're talking about eternal life here. How much more important is anything on this earth than achieving eternal life? Do you know that I believe most every religion out there, the end result is what's going on after we die? That's what people want to know. And there's all kinds of answers for that. All kinds of answers that are ungodly and all kinds of things that are not biblical. But Jesus says, you know what? This is what you need to do. You need to surrender everything. And the guy says, he walks away sad because he had great possessions. And you know what? Most of us, I'd venture to say, do not have great possessions, do we? So what's our excuse for not following him? We really have none. Selfishness. But you know what? When I say he wants us to surrender everything, I think it goes even farther than just our possession. I think it goes much greater than that. You know what? There are some friendships you need to give up. Ooh, sister. There are some people that have been in your life that if you do not get away from them, you are not going to walk with Jesus. That's just the bottom line. I've said this 100 times since I've heard it. You are a product of the 5 people you will hang out with. If you're hanging around with bad people, you're going to do bad things. If you hang around with good people, you're going to do good things. You hang around with godly people, you're going to do godly things. You need to surrender it all. You need to be willing to surrender it all. And you know what? I'm going to take it another step farther. I didn't have this the other day. The Lord Spirit gave me this morning. You got to be willing to surrender even your own feelings. Because our feelings, a lot of times, will lead us astray. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? It's like, oh, I feel miserable today. I feel terrible today. I feel really depressed today. I'm just going to walk along with these feelings all day long. Well, guess what? You need to surrender that. You need to let that go. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? The joy of who is my strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not my joy is my strength. Not the joy of my friends. Not the joy of my possessions. Not the joy of the way I feel at the moment. It's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Why am I so weak? Because you're not surrendering even your feelings to Jesus. And you're not following him. You haven't taken up your cross. Now, what it says here in Matthew 8, chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You got to be willing to let it all go. Surrender everything. You want to know how to get to there from here? You want to be the person who's so in love with Jesus that nothing else in this world matters? You got to surrender everything else in this world. For what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. According to what works? According to the works of surrendering everything. According to those works. In context of what he's saying here, you will be rewarded if you will lay down the world and go after Jesus Christ. It'll save your soul. And so that's the first thing. If you are not willing to lay it all down to follow Jesus, you will never get free from the chains of this world. That's just the way it is. You'll walk away sad. It's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, thanks, Jesus. You gave me the answer, but I got too much stuff I want to hold on to. I just came up with nowhere. I hope I can. The point is just that. We will never be free from this world if we keep holding on to the stuff of this world. And we will never follow Jesus to the extent that he wants us to. We will never get to there from here if we're not willing to give up the stuff that we're carrying. And that stuff can be feelings. That stuff can be possession. That stuff can be friends. Unfortunately, sometimes that stuff can be even family. I didn't look it up, but there is a portion of Scripture in there where Jesus says that, you know what, anybody who gives up their mother, their brother, their father, their husband, or whoever, for my sake, and I'm not advocating anybody leaving their husbands or their spouses or their families because we're supposed to love all those people, but you know what? If there's people that are in your life that Jesus says, you know what, you got to get away from that one in order to follow me, you better get away from that one. And it's very unfortunate that the people who should love us the most hurt us the most. And then we stumble the most over that hurt, and we don't know how to let that stuff go in order to follow Christ. And it's very important, and I'm running out of time. Need to surrender everything. You want to get to there from here, surrender everything. Number two, make amends and forgive. I've talked about this and I've talked about this. There is nothing more important than making amends with people, people that you've harmed, people that you've wronged, and forgiving those who have wronged you. This is such a powerful principle that in the Bible, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. What he's saying here is that you show up at church and you remember that somebody, you've done something to somebody. They have ought against you because you've done something to somebody. If you remember, okay, how do you remember that? Well, first the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember what you did to so-and-so? He says, leave the church and go take care of that problem. Go reconcile. That's important. In Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26, he says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against somebody else, in other words, somebody did something to you, when you stand praying, you remember that, you got to forgive them. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, and this is verse, I'll tell you what, if you do not get this verse, if you don't understand this, you're going to have problems. You are not going to get there from here if you do not understand. Because if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. How many need God to forgive us our trespasses? Yeah, we all do. And you know what? Some people do some very horrible things. There's some stuff that is unspeakable that people do to us. And we need to forgive them. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. All the unspeakable things that you and I have done, he forgave us. He said, you know what? I love them so much, and I want to forgive them so much. I'll take all of their sin upon myself, and I will die for them so that they can have eternal life. How do you get from here to there? You have to be willing to make amends, and you have to be willing to forgive. You can't get there. You will not get there if you're not willing to do those things. And now, that's a hard thing. And I'm not saying you're going to be able to just flip a switch and all of a sudden you're not going to be angry anymore. And you're not. But you know what? You need to pray about that. If you're angry at somebody who did something at you, you're in chains of bondage and you will never be free until you're willing to forgive. I had this encounter recently with more than one person now at this point, where I had to say, you know what? You will either live your life angry or you will live your life free. It's your choice. But the only way for you to get free is if you will forgive. Does that mean you have to put all your faith and trust in that person that hurt you again? No. No, you don't have to put yourself back in harm's way if you know that that's what they're going to do to you. But you do need to forgive them for what they have done and move on. Jesus said, how many times? He was asked, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Apparently the brother had asked him that, had a problem with somebody. Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's a pretty big number. And you know what? If you're counting up to whatever 70 times 7 gets to, 400, oh, somebody has been counting. There's some great powerful truths in them movies, them vegetables will tell you. Hallelujah. If you're counting up to that 490 times, chances are you're truly not forgiving the person anyway. But we need to do that. You want to get to there, from here, you got to surrender everything to Christ, and you got to be willing to make amends and forgive. And lastly, I'm going to do this very quick. The last thing we need to do is we need to become a servant of God. I've talked about this. In the last couple of years, this has been kind of the focus of a lot of my preaching, becoming a servant of God. That's what our Bible study has been for quite some time now, being an externally focused church. You know, a church that serves. We have to be. And you know what? Some of us, it's not even on our radar. Really? God wants me to be a servant of His? Yes, He does. God wants you to be a servant of His. Every single one of us. There is nobody excluded. There's the harvest is great and the laborers are how many? Few. Why are the laborers few? Because people are not answering the call. People aren't becoming the servants of God that He's called us to be. Where you work, where you play, in your family, in your neighbors. A few weeks ago now, my wife and I driving down the road, we come around the corner, we find a pickup truck upside down, the guy's still in it. We managed to help him out. He was fine. He was a little intoxicated. Well, maybe he was a lot intoxicated. But he didn't get hurt, praise God. His truck was destroyed. Turns out he's a neighbor of mine. Somebody I know. He's like, I don't know what happened. I'm like, yeah, I know what happened. But it's not my intent to judge that guy. It's my intent to go down there and knock on his door and say, hey, brother. And love him. Amen. For those who weren't able to hear it and for the tape's sake, what Mike is talking about is I've earned that right to go down there and knock on his door because I've already built relationship with the guy. That's important. Relationships are huge. You know, coming alongside people, helping somebody out in their greatest need is huge. That's what being a servant of God is about. We could have drove by and said, you know, somebody else will take care of that. Or we could have got there and found him in there and said, oh, well, help's on the way. Let me call somebody. And by the way, if you come on something like that, I'm not advocating you to yank people out of their cars unless it's like on fire or something. But If somebody's hurt, don't move them, bottom line. You know what I mean? Let the professionals take care of that. Unless it's like life or death, if they're going to die, if you don't do something, then do something. But in this case, he was swimming around on the roof of his truck because it was upside down and trying to get out. And it's like, so we helped him out. He was fine. But you know what? Helping somebody in their greatest need is a powerful way to build relationship. Coming in when people, especially people when they don't deserve it, and you show up and you help anyway, wow, that really speaks love. That's just like us. We didn't deserve it at all, and Jesus showed up and took care of the problem anyway. Thank you, Lord. Become a servant of God. Matthew 23:11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You want to be great in this church? Do something. Oh, I've got the best attendance. I've been a part of this church for 30 years. I sit in the same place. I'd never forget, my brother told me the story of this church where he attended. There was this family that had this pew. The family had this pew for 90 years. The same family sat in that pew. Don't you dare sit in that pew if you go to that church. It belongs to that family. You know what's funny? I look around, some of you, you're all laughing, but I know what it's like when you walk in and you find somebody in your seat. It's like, and where am I supposed to sit? Right? I don't know how I got there, but anyway. Oh, I remember. It's more than just showing up. You know, when you stand before Jesus, is he going to ask you how many sermons you heard and how many times that you checked in on the attendance list?
I was in jail. You come see me when I was hungry.
That's what he's...
When I have no clothes.
Oh, brother, we should have tag teamed today, man. You know how I know when I'm preaching? When somebody responds. The Holy Spirit is just like sparking in Mike, like, oh, give me that microphone. He's saying, I got stuff to say. That's good. And you know what? I hope that the Holy Spirit, you hear his voice in the same way in your life, speaking to you, inspiring you to get out and do and to love and to share and to serve and to speak into people's life. That's what being a servant of God is. Have you fed somebody that was hungry? Have you clothed somebody that was naked? Have you given shelter to somebody who's out in the street? You know, in today's world, it's a scary thing. You see somebody on the side of the road. Should I pick them up? Shouldn't I pick them up? They might have a big knife. They might have a gun. There might be two more in the bushes waiting, and they're going to jump me. It's a scary place we live, but you know what? Oh, listen to the Spirit of God. You know, I've driven down the road, and the Spirit of God said, leave them there. Okay. I've driven down the road, and the Spirit of God said, pick them up. Last one I picked up, wow. Let me tell you, I thought I was picking up a girl. Turned out it wasn't a girl. But you know what? My wife and I prayed for that person. We just gave that person love. Gave them the ride they needed. It's like a wow. So many years ago, I might have, once I found out that girl in my car wasn't a girl, I might have pulled over and said, get out. But you know what? That person needs God's love too. And I don't want to get off on that whole transgender thing. You know what? Whatever parts God gave you, that's the bathroom you go in, period. All right? But the bottom line is, we're going to come across people that need God's love in all shapes, sizes, and confusions, and distortions, and all sorts of stuff. You know what? It's not my job to sort it out. It's my job to love them. God will sort it out. Mark chapter... Oh, I missed that verse. I forgot to put that verse on the thing. I should have remembered that from Wednesday night. I forgot the last verse. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Whosoever of you will be the greatest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Who are you giving your life for? He gave his life for every one of us, for the whole lost world. Are we giving our life for anybody? Or are we just living it for ourselves? Are we willing to serve? Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, stepped out of heaven. And he came down here and he did what? He could have said, you do this and you do that and you do the other thing. I'm in charge. Whatever I say goes. No, he didn't do that. He came down here and said, you know what? You need your feet washed, boys? I'll wash your feet. Mark chapter 10, verse 43-45. What's that? You need a healing? Let me touch you. You know what? You see people, we all see people that need a healing in their lives. We should be touching them. Now, careful. In today's world, you got to be careful how you say that. We should be touching them with love. Not any of the weird, distorted, perverted stuff that the world says. Oh, no. We need to be touching them with love. Reaching out to heal their wounds. Bind up their broken hearts. Filling their soul with meat from the Word of God. Amen. Stand with me. You want to get there from here? Or, and you know what? I share this message also, and I know most of you are proud. You're there. I mean, you're there. But we have to have an answer for those who come running to Jesus. How do I get there from here? How do I inherit eternal life? We have to have that answer, and it's as simple as this. Surrender everything to Jesus Christ. Make amends and forgive those that you need to. And become a servant of God. Guess what? If you're serving God, you won't be serving yourself or the things of the world. You will be serving God. You won't have time to do anything else. Let me tell you something. I've been experiencing this myself, and my wife will be like, man, we got to slow down a little bit here and there. Because if you will make yourself available, God will use you. That's the bottom line. And there are several here that they're like, yeah, you know what? I found that out recently. I decided I would make myself available to God, and wow, did he give me stuff to do. You become a servant of God, you will not be bored. Let me ask you a question. Is anybody here who became a servant of God that's been bored lately? Anybody? No. You do? You pray for God to give me more time. Because there's so much to do. We have been blessed with the aroma of the food today, and I believe we've also been blessed with the aroma of God's love and his presence. I've so enjoyed this morning. And forgive me those who've already heard this message for sharing it again. Hopefully maybe it just got in a little deeper, but I really feel that the rest of the church needed to hear this, and I believe that there's more coming that will need to hear this. They need to know that in order to get from here to there, you need to surrender everything to Christ. Don't hold anything. Don't hold on to anything so tight that you'd be like, nah, I'll just keep what I got. Let it go. Make amends and forgive and become a servant. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that you make it so plain and simple that any of us can understand it. And I just pray, God, that you help us to have the courage to do what you've called us to do. I pray that there is nothing that we're holding on to that will keep us apart from you. May we let it all go in order that we can take up our cross and we can follow your will in your way. And God, I pray that you help us when it comes to making amends for people we've done wrong to, that we would humble ourselves and we would not be full of pride, and we would just walk over and we would make amends and we would apologize and we would make things right for people that we have harmed. And Father, I pray that you give us the courage and the strength to forgive those who have harmed us. No matter how deep the scar, no matter how terrible the wound, Father, I pray you give us the strength and the courage to forgive. And God, that we would be set free from those bonds of anger, and we'd be set free from those chains of bitterness as we forgive those who have harmed us. We know, God, we need to do that in order for our trespasses to be forgiven. And so, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. And Lord, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice at this very moment, whether it be right here live in this service or whether it be somewhere down the road when they listen to this tape online, whatever the case may be, God, that every single one will become a servant of God. That we would stop serving ourselves, we would stop serving the world, but we would serve Jesus Christ and no one else. That we would make ourselves useful for your kingdom, and God, that you would use us in a powerful way to advance your kingdom. That we would be numbered in the few who go after that harvest and bring it in. Father, bless your church today. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with power, O God. Forgive us of our sins. And draw us ever closer to you, because God, we don't want anything else. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo, look out. Wow, somebody preached it today.